Hello and welcome to the KO Knockout Podcast. Today we sit down with Neha Verma, Managing Director in TPG's Client and Capital Formation. Venturing out of Connecticut from New York, Neha tells us why the investment space has been so appealing to her and the tenacity it took to find a way into that space. Join us to hear the twists and turns of the journey that brought her to her newest home, Toronto, and how she has transformed her challenges into triumphs. Please enjoy.
We are here because as women in business, we don't want to walk alone on our path to success. We believe that by teaching and supporting one another, we can gain the knowledge we need and build a community where we belong. We are the Knockouts, women who champion other women and see every obstacle as an opportunity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Knockout. One of the fun things about going virtual for the last 2 years is we got to take a road trip virtually that we might never have been able to do in person, which took us to all kinds of places over North America. And in Canada, we met Neha Verma, who is incredible and has agreed to join us here on the podcast. So if not for virtual land, we would never have met you. And I just want to welcome you, Neha, to the Weekly Knockout.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, we're here today to tell your story. And I want to start by just giving you an opportunity to tell us about you, start with the early days. You're now a leader at TPG. You focus on fundraising, but it didn't, like all of us, a winding path to get there. So tell us a little bit about you and where you grew up and what your early days were like.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. I think rarely are any journeys linear, you know, and mine is no exception. So I grew up in Connecticut in the US in a small town. I'm Indian by background. So, you know, in a small town in Connecticut, you know, I was the only sort of non-Caucasian person I knew for the first 18 years of my life until, you know, except for my family. I definitely balanced, you know, these feelings of being different, coming from a different cultural background, different family upbringing. It was all sort of not lost on me growing up in the early years. And that was probably the first, you know, the first thick skin building experience I had, you know, as a kid, you know, going into my adolescent years and sort of the questions that come along with, you know, my background looking very different from others. I also had, you know, my parents were immigrant parents. So, you know, they came from India with literally nothing. And they built this like incredible life for us from the ground up. And so, you know, culturally,
were they entrepreneurs?
No, they weren't. My dad actually was started his own consulting firm, but like hyper focused on education. Mm-hmm. He has like 4 degrees, you know, and my mom is, she's still in the finance industry, but she also, you know, created something huge out of nothing. And so I have so much respect for what they did. And they, you know, we come from a culture that's sort of, you know, high expectations. And, you know, it's like, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, right? So which one of those two things are you going to be? And that, you know, for me, I was never sure what exactly I was going to be until the later years, but I knew that, you know, success was something that our family had definitely prioritized and had achieved from like a pretty rough start, you know, starting out in the US with basically nothing. So.
Did you have siblings?
Yeah. I have a younger brother. Who's 2 years younger than me, and we're very close. And our family, even to this day, is the most important thing to me. We're a very sort of close-knit family.
Wonderful. So you're in Connecticut, you go to university in Connecticut, and mm-hmm. How did you end up in New York?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting story. You know, the next, I guess, phase for me was, you know, growing up in a small town and being very family oriented, I stayed close to home, you know, and I went to school in Connecticut, as you know. It became apparent to me in sort of the second and third year of my university years that I really wanted to get into the investment space, that was something. I had some friends who were a couple of years older than me in school who were graduating and going to work on Wall Street. And I knew that that was something that was really appealing to me. And I knew that, you know, things I was good at were, you know, more structured subjects like math, and I loved relationship building. I loved communication, and I just wasn't sure exactly what that was going to look like. But once I got closer to graduating, I said, you know, I want to go to Wall Street. I want to work at one of the big financial firms. And lo and behold, you know, I made that decision. But what I didn't realize is it is an unbelievably competitive space. And so, you know, they look for people from literally four schools in the US, and you have to be sort of the creme de la creme, you know, of those universities. And I didn't go to one of those schools. And so, you know, I very quickly realized that I was going to have to fight hard to kind of get my way into one of these very competitive and sort of high performing firms. And so I, you know, literally called, you know, every top firm, you know, sent my resume, found the right person, and didn't really give them a choice, you know, at getting to know me, and sort of promised them that if they were to take a chance, you know, I wouldn't disappoint them. And so I committed, you know, many dozens, maybe hundreds of hours on that to land my first job.
Was this before like LinkedIn too, where you can quickly figure out who the right person is? I mean, that's, you're probably understating the challenge of doing that by a significant margin.
Yeah, you're right. LinkedIn makes it a little bit easier these days. We didn't have that then, but it was fun though. It was fun, like hearing no and turning that into a maybe. And then, you know, eventually.
That's very telling that you just said it was fun. I mean, it explains a lot. It explains a lot. Okay. So you weren't deterred. You elbowed your way in. You're comfortable, you know, fighting for what you want. That is awesome. And, you know, what did you find in New York? Was it everything you ever dreamed of?
Yeah, well, I landed a position at sort of one of the elite hedge funds in the area. It's actually in Greenwich, Connecticut, called Ellington Management Group. They were a structured products, you know, hedge fund. And I joined at the time to help build and structure a business in the structured product space, which was a huge, you know, hugely growing area at the time. This is before the financial crisis. And we built that business from effectively zero when I got there to sort of a $20 billion business at the end. So I got a lot of visibility inside the firm. I ended up working really closely with the CEO, who became a close personal friend, on sort of new business development and how do we grow the business. And they definitely took a chance on me. When I was there, I think the most interesting thing I did, other than figuring out how to navigate with leadership through the financial crisis, which was really tricky and stressful at the time, because it was a question of survival. I also, you know, towards the end was able to lead the internal process on going public. A portion of the firm we took public, and I got to be an officer of the public company. And I think I was, you know, under 25 years old. So that was really, really cool. And sort of the first thing that I got to say, you know, I worked on and, you know, led, and super exciting at a young age.
That must have lit a spark. I can't imagine. Very cool.
For sure.
So, I mean, how do you top that? What happens after that? You're public director at 24, 25. And, most of us are still working on that, but so that's impressive.
I'm sure I had a lot to work on too, but you know, I was like a dog on a bone. Like I was not really gonna, you know, take no for an answer, as you've heard.
So. That's amazing. So then what?
So then, you know, while I was at the hedge fund, I met my husband, who was working on Wall Street at one of the investment banks, got married, and, you know, we're living in New York, and he's originally Canadian. And so, you know, that obviously foreshadows what's coming. But, you know, I think if there's anyone listening to this who is Canadian or who's married to a Canadian, they'll know that Canadians somehow find their way back. And so that's what happened. You know, he and I were going to have children, and we were thinking about where our life would be best suited to do that while also maintaining our careers. And so we moved to Toronto to try it out. And, you know, 10 years later, I'm still here.
Is it another situation where you find yourself a little bit of an outsider, or what has it been like, you know, being an American in Toronto?
Yeah. There's definitely Americans in Toronto. I think for me, the hard part was I left an industry, you know, structured products at a hedge fund, where there's a lot of that in the New York area. There's none of that in Canada. And so, you know, Canada has a lot of private equity, you know, there's some sort of public equities, hedge funds, but for the niche that I had been in for my entire career at the time, it wasn't here. And so that was the big risk I felt professionally. Of course, you know, personally moving to a new place, you know what you're taking on and you're kind of starting fresh. And I was up for that challenge. But I think professionally, I probably didn't fully understand at the time that, you know, the industry, I would be making a change. I would be really starting in a new industry and taking on that challenge professionally. When I got to Canada, I actually took 3 years off, which was also at the time, a hard thing to do, a hard thing to kind of set yourself up for. When I'd fought so hard to get into the industry, to kind of take that step back was tough at the time, but in hindsight was a phenomenal decision. I had two kids. I had time with those, you know, my two older boys, and, you know, you never get that time back. But, you know, challenging in the moment, but had, you know, was a great decision and sort of set me up for the next thing career-wise as well.
That's a great message. I mean, I think a lot of people wonder if that's doable, and I love your success through that. So, what comes next? You're jumping back into private equity 3 years later, you know, tell us about that.
Yeah, exactly. It was another sort of huge shift career-wise. I was very fortunate that one of the big private equity firms in Toronto, Onyx, you know, was looking for somebody actually that had some credit investing background. Even though they were primarily a private equity business, they wanted somebody to help come in and kind of combine those businesses together from a business development, fundraising, and growth perspective. And so in that way, you know, being one of the few people with credit experience in Canada actually helped me. I credit them for sort of bringing me back into the industry and allowing me to learn private equity on the job, which is what I did.
And how did you meet them? Did you go on one of your calling sprees where you're getting hundreds of interviews, or was it a little easier this go around?
Yeah, no, this time around, I guess it was a little easier. And I had a little bit more confidence having, you know, come up and spent a few years in the professional kind of workplace. But I went to some of these, you know, networking groups. Actually, I got some really good and very controversial advice at the time from a senior woman who's at one of the hedge funds here in Canada. And she said to me, like, I get it. You know, you've had kids, you want to get back. Don't call me until you've been out for at least a year, you know, after your little one's been born. So she sort of said, you know, she forced me to take that time away and said, you know, you'll never regret taking it, but you'll regret it if you don't take it. So I got that advice and I took that advice actually. But then, you know, through the networking, really women and, you know, sort of private investments here, there are some groups here I networked through, and I was able to meet somebody who referred me in for the position at Onyx. And, you know, from there, the rest is history.
The power of networking. That's amazing. Love it. All right. So you're at Onyx. I mean, you've had success there. Now you're at TPG. Tell us about that transition.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I think the biggest curveball I've ever been thrown happened while I was at Onyx, just before, you know, TPG, which was on the personal front. You know, my son, so I mentioned I had my two kids while I was at Onyx, or I should say just before joining Onyx. And then while I was there, you know, we got a pretty tough piece of news, which is my older son was diagnosed with a really rare genetic condition. You know, and after taking a few months sort of personally, you know, while working, but really almost kind of looking inward to figure out what does this mean for life? And, you know, as a new mom, you sort of don't expect to be thrown that curveball. You know, we took a lot of time to learn about the condition and to understand what it meant for him and his future. And what we found was that really nothing was known about it. It was just such a recently discovered sort of genetic abnormality. And so there was literally nothing in the public. And so we took that effort on to make sure we were gathering information. We created a forum for other families who were going through this to learn about the condition and what it meant for development of these kids, and channel that all of our energy into raising money to sort of create a path to actually developing a drug to try to reverse the condition or cure the condition. And I, you know, credit Onyx for supporting me a lot through that whole process. And in fact, even financially, kind of helping to seed the foundation to where it is today. So that was a, you know, hugely challenging personal experience. But I think I also owed it to myself to make sure that I was not compromising what I'd worked for either professionally. So, you know, we balanced what we wanted to do for our child and creating awareness around this condition with working as well. And so those were a pretty crazy few years.
What has that experience, I mean, I'm sure there's a million lessons, but, you know, what has that experience brought to your life? Like, how has that changed the way that you are and the way that you see the future and all the things that come along with it?
Yeah. I mean, of course, all the obvious things, you know, like resilience and persistence, because it's in the world we live in today where technology's advanced, you know, around across the board, but it's really advanced in biotech. And so the amount that you can accomplish with not that much money, I mean, it's actually mind blowing when you actually think about, you know, $100,000 can do a lot towards drug development, which is just incredible and really, you know, makes it possible for so many of us who are looking for answers. But I also think, you know, it's taught me patience, you know, even career-wise, it's served me well to kind of make sure I'm taking it all in and waiting for the right moment to sort of make important steps forward with my son. You know, it's taught me patience professionally and personally. And, you know, again, this reoccurring theme in my life, which is make sure you don't give up and don't take no for an answer. I think, you know, we realized that there wasn't the right attention on this particular rare condition. And so once, you know, we connected kind of business, which is my husband and I's background is business, we connected that with science. It was almost like that's what we needed to get somewhere, you know, bringing that business mentality and sort of all the effort around raising money and raising awareness and getting, you know, we have Bay Street here in Canada instead of Wall Street, but Bay Street is what made this all happen. And so kind of connecting that to the science was really a game changer.
That's an incredible story. I mean, just how you're able to use your gifts and everything you've learned to really do something magnificent for your son and maybe others as well. So, I mean, is that your great achievement? Is that the impact that your legacy? I mean, what is next for, how do you top that? I mean, who cares about whatever else you do at TPG? You've almost built a new drug that's going to help your son and others. I mean, what's next? What's going to challenge you next?
Yeah. I think there's like things in life that you expect and then there's things that you don't expect, right? And I think what I always expected was I would find a way to navigate career. What I didn't expect is kind of the personal challenge of, you know, having this child who's born with this challenge that, you know, apparently we've been chosen to try and do something to fix. You know, and I think as I think about, you know, what's next for me and, you know, your question around how do you top that? I think this will be the thing that's most important in my life that I've ever contributed to, of course. It certainly feels at times more important than raising money, you know, professionally. But I will say that experience is a lot of what brought me to TPG. I think my values shifted a little bit. I see, you know, at TPG, as you may know, you know, we're doing a ton in the healthcare space, including in biotech. You know, we're doing a lot in the environmental space, helping to reverse the impacts of climate change. We're doing a lot in the social space, you know, even outside of healthcare, you know, in the areas of food and agriculture and really, you know, there's a big impact business here. That was a lot of what drew me to TPG because I was sort of like, look, from my life, it's not all about sort of achieving success. And, you know, personally, it's also about making sure that you're doing the right things with that success. And here I get to do both. You know, I feel like I get to send the message around Canada of, you know, how we do good through our investments. But of course, you know, we have a commercial side to it as well. And so it's kind of, you know, a win-win.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important message. I mean, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to get more young women excited about different careers in finance and how you tell the story that it's really not just about getting deals done or, you know, having just sometimes I think the idea that it's just about making money, you know, there's companies like TBG and what you're doing, you're able to make a really powerful impact if you can drive capital to the right opportunities. So I love the way you tell your story that way. And I can see why this career is a good choice. It's interesting also at the beginning where you said you got joy out of making the calls and it didn't bother, you know, I think that's it too. It's just, let's try to build something. And that's fun. Yeah. Even if everyone doesn't line up, it's fun to try to build something.
Yeah. And when I, like, you know, a lot of younger people, even through LinkedIn, or through people I know will reach out, often young women earlier in their careers. And I tell them, you know, this is what I did. And like, you should do this too. You know, if you think it's not a straight path to get where you want to be, you have to start somewhere and just take it one day at a time and go for it. Cause you sort of never know, you know, what's going to come your way or what's going to change something. Obviously, you know, my life has definitely showed me that. So I love sending that message to others as well, because it's, you know, it can seem sometimes insurmountable or impossible, but, you know, with persistence, I think you can do anything.
What is a message that you want to leave to, you know, the women out there that, that listen to the KO podcast, or I don't know, maybe to your own sons as they think about their future and what you hope for them? Like, what's a mantra that you live by, or just a message that you'd love to share?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I think about all the time in terms of mantras. I mean, one of them, and it's kind of the subject of these lines of podcast, right? Which is, you know, working through challenges, but like, you know, something beautiful comes out of every mess. You know, I think Glennon Doyle says that, and I've like, that has literally been something that I've seen throughout my life, whether it's career or personal, you know, my son or otherwise. It's sort of like, you know, you have to get through challenges to see the beauty and what life can really be. So I live by that. That's, you know, something that I'm always thinking about, especially when I'm going through something tough. I think, you know, another one of those mantras, which is one that really impacts how I live my life, is don't let yesterday take up too much of today. You know, I try to start every morning by, you know, putting whatever was tough or felt overwhelming yesterday behind me and saying, okay, what am I going to get through today? And, you know, this idea of if it's big, make it small. You know, I mean, we think about the 50 things we have to do all the time. And I'm like, if I can cross one thing off today, you know, it's a good day. And, you know, not trying to tackle 50 things every single day, which, you know, can feel impossible. Those are things that I, you know, I read those mantras every day. I think about them every day. I have them on my phone. You know, I take a deep breath when I'm having a tough day and I think back to, okay, you know, how do I break this down? And how do I, you know, just get to tomorrow and make progress from today till then. And then there's another day, you know.
That's really great. I love those. Well, Aneha, thank you so much. I hope that our next Canadian road trip actually takes us physically to Canada so we can have lunch with you in Toronto or wherever, maybe a cocktail. But thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. This has been a lot of fun.
I would love that. And it was my absolute pleasure. And I think here in Canada, we are extremely welcoming of anyone who makes the trip over. It's been a long time. The borders were closed for a long time, but they're open and, you know, life is back, which is good. So thank you so much for the time and the opportunity. It was great to speak.
Not every path is predictable. Life can be messy, but being able to find the beauty and potential within that mess is truly spectacular. Thank you for joining this conversation with Neha Verma, who turned this perspective into a principle. We'll see you next time.